නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස. Hello, this is Lal from purodhamma.net. Today I would like to discuss the Mahasatipatthana Sutta. The Mahasatipatthana Sutta provides detailed instructions to attain Nibbana in a systematic way, starting from the very beginning. I want to show that what we have been discussing in this section so far is exactly what is recommended in the beginning of this sutta. By the way, in the last desana, I promised to talk about where kamma vipaka are stored, but I realized that discussion needs to come first, so I hope to get that topic soon. As you may remember, this series of posts in the Living Dhamma section is based on the fact that there are two types of suffering that the Buddha talked about. The first type is the incessant distress that we experience in this life itself. The second type of suffering is the suffering in future rebirths, especially if one is born in the four lowest realms or the apayas. In the beginning, we are focusing on the first type of suffering. Even though it is hidden, we saw that it can be found and be eliminated. Now, there are three critical points associated with this first type of suffering. First, this type of suffering is associated with our thoughts, speech, and actions that result mainly in immoral actions. That is what one should mostly work on initially. When we are constantly engaged in sense pleasures that are not immoral, the mind is also burdened only to a lesser degree, just an agitation or an incessant distress. So there are different levels of this first type of suffering. We just need to handle the highest suffering associated with the immoral actions first. The second point is that when we start removing these causes, that is, when we stay away from dasa akusala and also extreme sense pleasures, that will automatically result in niramisa sukha or samadhi. Even without doing formal meditation sessions, one will be able to feel the peace of mind and a sense of well-being. The agitation of the mind will be reduced. The third point is that when we start feeling niramisa sukha, we will be able to easily see the true nature of this world. That means the three characteristics of nature, starting with the anicca nature. So that is a brief summary of what we have been discussing so far. Now let us start the discussion on the Satipatthana Sutta. I recommend everyone to read the post Satipatthana Sutta Structure. It is a highly condensed version and I am going to discuss in detail here. There is a key verse in the beginning of that sutta. In the Satipatthana Sutta, it reads, Atapi sampajano satima vineya loke abhijja domanassam. Condensed in this verse is what we have been discussing so far in this section, and actually will be discussing for a few more. This verse is the basis of Anapana Sati Bhavana as well as the Satipatthana Bhavana. This verse also appears in other sutras. So there are two parts in that verse. The first is Atapi Sampajano. Let us go through this part carefully first. Now, Tapa in Pali or Sinhala means heat. The mind gets heated when one has akusala chitta running through one's mind. For example, when one is about to steal something, one's mind gets agitated. One is afraid that one may get caught. When one is engaged in an angry verbal exchange with another person, one's mind gets heated, and so on. We can think of many such cases from our own experience. One also has tapa, or heat, in one's mind to a lesser extent when one has thoughts about sense pleasures running through one's mind. Let us take a simple example. A lady who is attracted to an expensive dress has an agitated mind. She thinks about the pros and cons of spending money for that dress for hours and hours. This is stressful, even if one does not realize it. A similar but more stressful situation arises when one is about to buy an expensive house. Now, we do not consider these to be stressful, but they are. So, there is a wide range of situations where tapa or heat can arise in one's mind. Now, atapi means reducing that heat. So, the whole Satipatthana Sutta is based on how one can reduce this heat that can arise in our minds. So, how can we do that? To understand that, we also need to look at the next word, sampajana. Sampajana comes from the two words, sun and pajana. Of course, sun is a key word in Buddha Dhamma. There is a subsection at the website on sun, and that is required reading for anyone interested in Buddha Dhamma. I will provide the link to that post. So we go through this rebirth process because we acquire sun, and we also feel the incessant distress because we acquire the sun. In the previous posts, we talked about how they go by different names like Kilesa and Asobana Chaitasika. They are all sun. Sun means adding to this rebirth process. The worst kind of sun are lobha, dosa, and moha, or greed, hatred, and ignorance. Now, ignorance here means ignorance of the true nature of the world. It has nothing to do with book knowledge. And pajana means comprehension or understanding. Note that the two words are actually sun and pajana, so they combine to give sun pajana, but it rhymes like sampajana. This is why these key meanings have been hidden for hundreds of years. For example, it is more correct to say sansara than samsara, because the meaning comes right out with sansara, sun and sara. Sara means the perception that perception of goodness. So sansara means sun are good. This perception inevitably leads to future rebirths. That is why the word sansara stands for the rebirth process. On the other hand, it is also true that sometimes it just comes out with the M sound when you combine these words. For example, when one combines sun and udaya, it comes out as samudaya. Now here, udaya means to arise. So sun combined with udaya means this, how these suns or defilements arise. But when you combine the two words sun and udaya, it's more natural to say samudaya than sunudaya. So there are cases like that too. Samudaya is, of course, comes out more naturally than sunudaya. So it is okay to say samsara or sampajana, but we need to remember that it comes from the root sun. So if one knows about sun, it is easy to figure out the roots of many keywords and phrases in Buddha Dhamma. Some of the other words are like sangvega, sankalpana, samma, etc. All these words are discussed in the section on sun. Now, getting back to the phrase atapi sampajano, now we have clarity on how it comes about. Atapi means getting rid of heat. Remember, tapa is heat and atapa is getting rid of heat. Sampajano means by comprehending sun, or kilesa, or asobana chetasika that are involved. When one lives with atapi sampajano, one knows when sun or defiled thoughts arise, and one can forcibly suppress them if those thoughts can lead especially to immoral actions. Last week we talked about many examples of how the mind gets agitated when one is engaged in immoral activities. The best word to convey that feeling of agitated or heated mind is actually tapa. When the Buddha talked about fire in the Aditya Pariyaya Sutta, or the fire sermon, he was not talking about physical fires. He was talking about these internal fires or tapa. Now, one can get to atapi sampajano by being mindful and avoiding such immoral actions by the mind, speech, or the body. Now, other than immoral deeds and speech, one needs to avoid immoral thoughts too. For example, one could be having hateful thoughts about someone for hours and hours, and during that whole time, one's mind will be heated and agitated. When one lives with atapi sampajano, on the other hand, one will be forcefully suppressing immoral actions by the body, speech, and by the mind. Initially, it will be impossible to avoid such thoughts popping into the mind. Actually, it is not possible to avoid that until one attains higher stages of Nibbana. But the key is not to let those immoral thoughts to continue. One can think about the bad consequences of such thoughts and stop them when one become aware of them. So the key is to stop them once one become aware of them. That is what sampajano means. One can think about the bad consequences of such actions and instead start thinking about a different subject or engage in another activity. If one has time, one could start reading or listening to Dhamma and take the mind off of such bad thoughts. So here I want to point out another relevant bit of information. You all know the word sandhittika. It is one of the 9 supreme qualities of Dhamma. In homage to Dhamma, it goes like Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhittiko Akaliko. Therefore, Sandhittika is one of the 9 qualities of Dhamma. Now again, the word Sandhittika comes from the root sun and the combined with ditti, ditti or the ability to see. So this is another keyword with sun. Therefore, when one learns Dhamma, one becomes good at not only realizing what these suns are, but also decide the relative importance of different types. Not all suns have the same impact. Some give rise to more heat or tapa than the others. We will talk a bit more on this topic in a little bit. So, it is clear that atapi sampajano is the same as sandhittika. Now, we have seen that sun or kilesa or asobana chaitasika mean the same thing, defilements that make a mind defiled or contaminated, giving rise to the tapa or heat. That tapa comes in two strengths, fire and agitation. The higher strength comes with immoral activities. The lower strength of agitation comes with the attachment to sense pleasures. So even though thoughts on sense pleasures can also turn on the heat and make one's mind agitated, that will be much less agitation compared to the fires triggered by immoral actions and thoughts. Therefore, we should first tackle those immoral thoughts and actions. Last week, we also talked about many types of kilesa and how they are really the same as asobana chaitasika. We noted that lobha chaitasika can have strength in a wide range. When it is high, one can do immoral things because of that. Accordingly, the tapa or heat generated will be high. When one attains the sotapanna stage, lobha is permanently reduced in strength to raga. Then one will not do immoral things to achieve sense pleasures. In the same way, one can do immoral things when one has dosa. One could even kill someone or physically hurt someone if it gets out of control. But at the sotapanna stage, dosa is reduced to patiga, and one will be unlikely to generate really hateful thoughts. Accordingly, the level of heat or tapa will be permanently reduced to a lower level. Now, progress to the sotapanna stage is also gradual. When one starts following atapi sampajano or sandhittiko, that means one gradually becomes better and better at seeing sun. And then one day one will realize that such high levels of lobha and dosa have been reduced to raga and patiga. It may take months or years depending on the person. It may even happen in a future life. But the key is to get started. Therefore, the key is to focus on the strongest of the dasa akusala that one is habitually engaged in. One analogy that I discussed in the first few posts in the meditation section is that of a leaking water tank. If the tank has several holes of varying sizes, one needs to plug the biggest hole first, because that is where one is losing most water. There is no point in trying to plug the small holes if there is a bigger one that is still leaking. The bigger holes are like dasa akusala. The smaller holes are like sense pleasures. Actually, staying away from sense pleasure does not have to be forced. It will happen gradually and automatically when one stays away from dasa akusala. I know this by experience, and I have discussed some of these experiences in previous posts. There is no point in trying to reduce kamaraga until one gets rid of lobha, the stronger version which is capable of inducing immoral acts. A good example is sexual misconduct, which needs to be stopped by force. But there is no point in trying to stay away from normal sex. One's desire for sex will automatically go away when one attains the anagami stage. So this is why learning Dhamma is important in order to figure out the priorities. But before getting into finer details, let us now see what is meant by the rest of the verse. Satima vineya loke abhijja domanassan. Now, satima is really two words. Again, it's sati and ma. Stated simply, sati is being mindful and ma is removal, as explained in the section sun. For example, we know that the word samma comes from the combination of sun and ma, where ma it means removal. Therefore, samma is removal of sun. So, samma ditti is removal of wrong vision, that is a sun. In the same way, sati ma means removal of being, removal by being mindful. Now, vinaya loke refers to this world where we are bound to each other via debt to each other. This is discussed in detail in the post Kamma, Debt and Meditation. I will give the link to that post. The root cause of all suffering is extreme greed or abhijja, which comes from the combination of the abhi and iccha, where iccha is strong, is craving. We have actually come across iccha in explaining the word aniccha. Iccha is what one desires, and aniccha means one can never fulfill that desire or expectation in the long run. So abhijja is just a strong version of iccha. When one does not get one desires, which will happen sooner or later, one gets depressed, and that is domanasa. Manasa is mind, and do means stressed. Therefore, domanasa means a stressed mind. It is important to remember that one does acts with hate, with the domanasa mindset, because one is upset and deflated and angry. Thus, the part of the verse Vinaya Loke Abhijja Domanasang means because of this strong attachment or tanha, that is another word for that, abhijja. We not only become mentally depressed, we also become indebted to the others or to the whole world. We become indebted not only when we steal, but when we do anything immoral. When we lie or slander, we hurt someone's feelings and become indebted to that person. In another example, when we senselessly damage the environment too, we become indebted to the whole world. One may not feel it at that moment, but the more one does such things, one's domanasa will grow. We'll talk about this in a separate post. So if we keep doing immoral things, we become indebted and our mind gets distressed. So it's bad in two ways. We do not realize the price we pay to gain some temporary enjoyment. This happens especially when we have high levels of greed. So how do we avoid that? We avoid that by being mindful or keeping sati. That helps us, that can help us stopping such immoral or senseless acts. That is what satima means. Avoid or eliminate by being mindful, or avoid or eliminate by being mindful of the consequences. So now we can see the meaning of the key verse. Atapi sampajano satima vinaya loke abhijja domanassam. You can translate this as, by being mindful of sun or kilesa or akusala chaitasika that arise in our thoughts, we can reduce the heat that arises in our minds and eventually be free from this debt-ridden world, and to be free from abhijja and domanasa permanently. So this is the key to cooling down from a lower level all the way up to nibbana. Atapi sampajano satima vinaya loke abhijja domanasa. So we can talk for hours and hours about this key verse, we can go to more details. But the key idea is simple. In the end, we have to purify our minds to achieve a peace of mind. We just keep doing that until we attain Nibbana. It cannot be done in a short time. It takes time. But one will be able to experience the relief as one proceeds. So the key is to start putting out the big fires first. The smaller ones actually will take care of themselves. This is why it is not very fruitful to try to get rid of the desire for sense pleasures, at least extreme sense pleasures, until one stays away from dasa kusala, or at least the big eight that I discussed in the first few posts in the meditation section. By the way, the three defilements associated with the mind or moha are automatically reduced when one removes one abstain from the immoral activities that one does with the speech and the body. So the seven things that we do with the speech and mind in the dasa kusala must be dealt with first. Now, even among immoral actions, there are levels of priority. For example, killing, physically hurting someone, and verbal abuse come in that order. However, that order holds only if we are thinking about humans. For example, verbally abusing a human will have thousandfold more severe consequences than even killing of most animals. Now, this is not to encourage killing of animals, but there are people who hesitate even to clean their homes out of fear of killing insects, but do not hesitate to verbally abuse another human being. Now, that is getting the order of things backwards. This is why learning correct Dhamma is so important. We need to take care of bigger issues before we start tackling smaller ones. Many people think killing an animal is a very bad deed, but do not realize that one can accumulate much, much more worse karma vipaka by generating hateful thoughts about a human. This is clearly explained in Abhidhamma in analyzing different types of thoughts or chitta. I will probably have a desana on a simplified version of this later, thus this topic. About different types of chitta in Abhidhamma. Also, one has to be clever in generally conducting one's life to avoid future instances that could lead to more severe actions. For example, if one does not clean a house on a regular basis, it may get infested with more insects in the future, and then one will have to kill many, many more. Leaving cobwebs in the house out of compassion is not real compassion. One has to think long term and wider implications. An unclean house will cause health problems, especially for children. There are many simple things like this that sometimes we don't think through. Now, if you go to a temple, you will notice that everything is kept very clean. That is not to make it look good, but mainly for sanitary reasons. So, we need to avoid doing foolish things which may look good on the surface. At the time of the Buddha, there was a very compassionate yogi who would not walk for the fear of being killing insects on the ground. Instead, four people had to carry him wherever he wanted to go, whenever he wanted to go out. But the problem was that four times as many insects were likely to have been killed in that foolish action. In fact, this is the essence of the phrase "Atapi Sampajano." One needs to evaluate one's actions, not on a superficial basis, but in a more thought about, planned way. When bringing up children, we can do some long range planning too. Discourage them from participating in immoral activities like fishing and hunting. Teach from early stages not to steal, lie, slander, gossip, or by especially by being good role models. And to be courteous to other humans and also to have compassion for animals. This is why Satipatthana or Anapanasati Bhavana are not restricted to sitting meditation sessions. They cannot be restricted to such formal sessions. Buddha Dhamma does not have recipes of things to do and not to do, other than dasakusala, of course. Instead, when one learns Dhamma, one will be capable of deciding what is good to do and what is not good to do. And this is not limited to deciding just at the moment. One could take many actions ahead of the time to avoid future immoral actions that can be avoided. By the way, many people have the impression that Satipatthana Bhavana needs to be done in a formal sitting position because of the following verse in the Satipatthana Sutta. It reads, Idha bhikkave bhikkhu aranyagatova rukkamulagatova sunyagaragatova nisidati pallankam abhijutva ujumkayam panidaya parimukam sating upattipetva. Most of the keywords here have much deeper meanings than the superficial ones. Aranya is not restricted to a monastery. Rukkamula does not mean necessarily going to the foot of a tree to meditate. Sunyagara does not restrict going to an isolated place, even though that can be done. And Pallankam does not mean getting to a lotus position to meditate. Not necessarily, even though one can do that. And Ujjumkayam does not mean keeping one's physical body upright. The correct meanings are explained in the post prerequisites for the Satipatthana Bhavana. I will give the link to that too. But let me just point out an obvious contradiction with taking Ujjumkayam to be as interpreted as keeping the physical body upright. There's a whole section in the Satipatthana Sutta called Iriyapata Pabba, and it describes in detail how one should cultivate sati or mindfulness in all main postures and what are called the sub postures. The main four are sitting, standing, walking, and lying down. Therefore, it is obvious that Ujjumkayam does not mean keeping the physical body upright. It means being straight in moral conduct or being moral and truthful. And of course, it is not necessary to go to a monastery to do the Satipatthana Bhavana or Anapanasati Bhavana. It does not matter where one is. No matter where one is, one just needs to pay attention and avoid immoral actions, speech, and thoughts, and cultivate the opposite. That means cultivating moral actions, speech, and thoughts. So I hope you will read those posts on the Satipatthana Sutta. They are informative. So Buddha Dhamma is all about cleansing one's mind, achieving a peace of mind, and eventually permanent happiness of Nibbana. May the blessings of the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha be with you always.